Okay, so you know how we always dig up these fascinating stories, right? Stories that kind of get you thinking differently.
Right.
Well, today we're diving into something pretty cool from that Exponential Global 2025 conference. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They had this whole track on how churches can not only survive, but actually grow and multiply, especially in those smaller towns where things can be a little tougher, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And the guy leading the discussion was this Patrick Quinn, I think.
Patrick Quinn, yep. He had some really interesting things to say.
So what really grabbed our attention, and I know you're all about learning new things without a ton of jargon, was this case study he presented. Century Church in Pike Road, Alabama.
Yeah, Century Church. Now, Pike Road, just for context, is a small town, like 10,000 people, something like that.
Pretty small. And Century Church has managed to become like this vital hub there, like
Yeah.
really deeply woven into the community.
Yeah, it's impressive. And that's exactly what we're going to explore today. How'd they do it? What are the secrets?
That's our mission for today. We've actually got Patrick Quinn's notes from the seminar and even a full transcript of his whole presentation.
Oh, wow. Nice. Yeah. So we can really dive deep into the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, we'll pull out the most important takeaways for you. Their commitment to the community, the partnerships they built.
Right. And their approach to financial stability, which is, not something a lot of people think about,
Especially in a small town.
especially in a small town. Right. And the thing is, these aren't just church-specific lessons. No. If you're interested in how any group, any organization can become a vital part of its local area, there's gold here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's unpack this thing. And the first thing we need to talk about is what seems to be like the foundation of their whole model, this community first ministry idea.
Yeah, Quinn really hammered that home in his notes, like underlined it, circled it, put stars around it. This is the heart of it.
Really? Okay, so what does that mean?
So it's really a total shift in mindset for a lot of organizations. The basic idea is this: every decision they make, how they spend their money, what programs they offer, everything, it's all about the needs of the town first, not just their own members.
That's interesting. It's like they flipped the script, right? Instead of being inward focused, it's outward.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it sounds like this idea was inspired by a little bit of history. Quinn mentioned John Wesley, the Methodist
Yeah,
guy.
vaguely.
Well, his vision was to basically be a pastor to a whole region, not just a building full of people on Sunday. So it's a much broader scope.
So Century Church took that idea and applied it to Pike Road.
In a way, yeah. And the question they constantly ask themselves, according to Quinn, is, are we loving the community well? That's like their benchmark for everything they do.
Are we loving the community well? Wow, that's really simple, but powerful too.
Right.
Okay, but how does this actually work in practice? It can't just be a slogan, right?
Of course not.
Yeah.
And one of the big ways they do it is through strategic partnerships with other local groups.
Partnerships, okay. Like teaming up with other organizations.
Yeah, exactly. Quinn emphasized that the church can't just be this isolated island. They have to be connected to the town.
So they actively look for ways to collaborate with businesses, schools, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and they've got some great examples. The one that really struck me was their work with the local schools. They host these fundraisers that pull in over $100,000 every year.
$100,000. Wow, that's incredible.
Right. They saw a need, the schools were underfunded, and they stepped up. And think about the message that sends.
Yeah, that's not just about the money. That's about commitment. It's about showing they care about the future of the town.
Exactly. And it builds trust. It makes them a vital partner in the community.
And it's not just schools, right? I remember reading about how they partner with local businesses too, for events, even
Yeah.
things like bringing in food trucks, right?
Yeah. It's all about creating this sense of mutual support. The church helps local businesses, and in turn, those businesses become partners in their outreach efforts.
So it's a two-way street. Everybody benefits.
Exactly. And then there are the mentorship programs they run with the schools and even coaching. Some of their members are actually out there coaching school teams.
Really, that's hands-on involvement.
It is. And it goes back to this idea of being known in the community, which we'll get into later. But it's all about serving in tangible ways, meeting real needs.
So this is all sounding really great, but I'm curious, how do they keep this going? Especially when things inevitably go wrong.
That's where their leadership comes in. Quinn talked a lot about their ability to adapt and stay resilient.
Resilient. Okay.
Ugh.
So they've had to overcome some obstacles, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. Their story is not all sunshine and roses. They've had some pretty serious challenges.
Like what?
Well, think about COVID. Remember that?
Do I ever?
They actually operated entirely outdoors for 3 years because of it.
3 years. Wow.
3 years, intense, just to keep things going, to stay connected with people.
That shows real dedication.
It does. And then, as if a pandemic wasn't enough, they had a hurricane come through and completely wipe out their tents.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was a mess. And here's the funny part. They had previously tried to get permission to build some permanent structures, like pole barns, and the town said no.
Seriously?
Seriously. But after the hurricane destroyed their tents, the town suddenly changed their tune and gave them the okay.
So sometimes disaster can be a catalyst, huh?
Sometimes it takes a crisis to open up new doors. And that's where their leadership mindset comes in. Quinn talked about how they have a yes before no approach.
Yes before no. What does that mean?
It means they're open to new possibilities. Even if the details aren't all worked out, they say yes first and then figure it out later.
I like that. It's a very positive way of looking at things.
And it leads to some really creative solutions. So yeah, resilience is a big part of their success story.
Okay, you mentioned this being known idea earlier. And in the notes, Quinn used this phrase, incarnational ministry. Can you explain what that means?
Sure. It's about being present in the community, not just talking about your beliefs, but living them out in a way that people can see and connect with, especially in a small town. It's about relationships.
Okay, so it's less about preaching and more about just being there for people.
Exactly. And that's how Century Church has become known in Pike Road. Their pastors are out there coaching school teams, supporting families, going through tough times.
It's like they're woven into the fabric of the town.
Exactly. And then there are the townwide initiatives they lead, like food drives and community vigils. Quinn's transcript has some really powerful stories about this. Like, there is this local tragedy. I don't remember the specifics, but it really shook the community. And the Century Church pastor, along with a few other pastors, really stepped up to help people process it and heal.
That's so powerful. It's about being a source of comfort and strength in times of need, not just for your own members, but for everyone.
Right. And then they host all these civic events, too, things that bring the whole town together.
Like what kind of events?
Oh, all sorts. They even hosted the funeral for a Muslim family once.
Really? That's amazing. It shows they're open to everyone, regardless of their beliefs.
Exactly. And they have this big crawfish boil every year that raises money for the school. And they organized a candlelight vigil after that terrible shooting a few years back.
These are all things that bring people together, that build a sense of community.
Right. And it all goes back to being known, showing up, being present, building those relationships.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit and talk about something that's essential for any organization, but especially for churches. Financial sustainability. How do they manage to keep the lights on and do all these amazing things?
Well, this is where it gets really interesting. They have this really innovative approach with this Well at Pike Road project. Have you heard of
that? So it's like a big community center they're building, right?
It's more than just a building. It's like a whole campus, 23 acres. And the idea is to create this shared use space that benefits the entire community.
Okay, so it's not just for the church, it's for everyone.
Exactly. And to make this work, they actually set up a separate organization, a C Corp. They called it the Well at Pike Road, too.
Why a separate corporation?
Well, it gives them more flexibility to partner with other organizations and businesses and to generate different revenue streams.
So it's like a separate engine for community benefit. It runs alongside the church, but it's not limited by the same rules and regulations.
Exactly. It's really smart. And it ensures their financial stability in the long run.
Okay, so what's actually happening on this campus? What kind of partnerships are they setting up?
Well, there's this group called FaZe Family Learning Center. They provide after-school care and summer camps.
That's a huge need in any community, especially for working families.
Right. And then there's Yellowhammer Soccer. They're already on the campus, and they're planning to expand their offerings to include other sports, too, like basketball and volleyball.
So it's becoming a real hub for youth activities.
It is. And they're doing some really interesting things with food, too. Instead of building a big church kitchen, they're partnering with local coffee shops and food trucks.
Oh, wow. So they're supporting local businesses instead of competing with them.
Exactly. Right. And they had this really fun idea. During their Easter egg hunt, they decided to invite local vendors to set up a little market.
A spring market. How cute.
Yeah. It was totally spontaneous, but it was a huge hit. And it was a great way to support local businesses and create a sense of community.
Now, I read somewhere that they actually consulted with the Congress for new urbanism when they were designing this campus. That seems a little unusual for a church, right?
It is, but it shows how forward-thinking they are. They wanted to create a space that's really well designed, that fits into the community, and that can adapt to future needs.
They're playing the long game.
They are. And they even looked at some classic urban planning documents for inspiration, like the Wacker Manual, which was this vision for the future of Chicago.
That's fascinating. They're really taking a holistic approach to this whole thing.
They are. And I think it's a direct response to some of the challenges churches are facing these days, especially in small towns.
You're talking about declining attendance, financial struggles, all that.
Yeah, Quinn talked about how something like 100,000 churches could close in the coming years. It's a pretty sobering statistic.
It is, and a lot of those churches are in small towns.
Exactly. And they're facing all sorts of headwinds. Aging buildings, shifting demographics. You know, people are moving away from rural areas.
And even the people who stay, they're not always connected to their local church.
Right. A lot of people just drive in for Sunday service and then leave. They're not really involved in the community.
And Century Church is trying to change that.
They are. They're saying, hey, we need to be more than just a Sunday morning gathering. We need to be a vital part of this town.
So their model is almost like a countercultural movement. It's a way to push back against these negative trends.
It is. It's about being proactive and adaptable.
Okay, so let's wrap this up. For someone listening to this, what are the key takeaways? What can they actually do with this information?
Well, it depends on their situation. If they're already part of a multi-site church, they need to think about their community impact. Are they really meeting local needs?
Are they loving the community well?
Exactly. And they need to make sure their leaders are embedded in those communities, participating in local events, building relationships.
So it's not just about having a building in a town. It's about having people who are truly invested in that town.
Right. And Quinn also talked about revitalizing struggling rural churches. Maybe some of those churches could become new campuses for larger multi-site churches.
That's an interesting idea.
It is, and it could be a way to bring new life to those communities. And then there's this whole idea of shared spaces, using church facilities for community events, partnering with businesses, generating different revenue streams.
That's a key part of their financial stability, right?
It is, and it's something that more churches should be thinking about.
Okay, so what about churches that are thinking about expanding to multiple locations? What advice would you give them?
Well, Quinn's big message is to prioritize community engagement before you even think about planting a church.
So don't just show up and say, hey, we're here now.
Right. Go in, build relationships, show that you care about the community, and find local champions, people who are already respected and trusted in the town.
Makes sense. You need to have buy-in from the community.
You do. And you need to be really honest about whether the town actually needs another church.
Or if they just need a church that's actually engaged with the community.
Right. And then, of course, there's the financial piece. They need to think about long-term sustainability beyond just relying on tithes.
So partnerships, creative revenue streams, all that.
Exactly. And then finally, for any church, regardless of their size or structure, the key takeaway is this: you have to understand and serve your local community.
It all goes back to that question, are we loving the community well?
It does. And Quinn had this other question that really got me thinking. If your church disappeared tomorrow, would your town even notice?
Wow, that's a powerful question.
It is. It makes you think about your impact. Are you just a building, or are you a vital part of the community?
Well, Century Church is definitely the latter. They've shown us what's possible when you put the community first.
Absolutely. Their story is inspiring, and I think there's a lot we can all learn from them.
So, what are your biggest takeaways from this deep dive? What really resonated with you? And how can you apply these principles in your own life, in your own community?
Yeah, think about that. What can you do to love your community well?
It's a challenge worth considering. And if you want to learn more about this whole small town ministry movement, it sounds like Exponential is building a network for people who are interested in this approach. We'll put a link in the show notes.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
So that's it for today. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.
See you then.